would be a huge understatement. Amen?
Amen.
And we welcome all that come, and we just trust that God will take care of everything. Amen?
Amen.
And today we have a gentleman visiting, a pastor. I believe his name is Peter. And he is in our house, and he doesn't speak English. But I believe he speaks, it's French or Creole?
French.
And so we have Miss Marie, who is volunteered to sit there and translate. I can't promise I'll go slow. But we welcome you, and we thank you for coming today. And to you, Miss Marie, I say merci beaucoup. If you have the Word of God all over the sanctuary, if you would, please hold it up over your head, whether it's in printed or digital format. Amen. Please turn in the Word of God to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And I say to you today, grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we continue our study in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9 today. If you are there, please say, Amen.
Amen.
We will be reading from the Word of God. Great. I'm so glad I put the whole thing back up there again this week and that I didn't leave any part of it out. The book of Joshua, as I had said before, picks up after the death of Moses and as God's people are preparing to enter into the land of Canaan, the promised land. Reading from the Word of God, Joshua chapter 1 through verses 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all his people to the Lord, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now we come to the great passage. What is our battle cry this year, Living Hope Church? The battle is the Lord's. Amen? And we read here in verse 9, the Lord saying, Through his leader, Joshua. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you may go. May the blessings of His Word be upon you. You know, last week we opened up with part one of this part one series, actually. So it was part one, portion A. And what we looked at was that we are to look at God's commissioned promise. God's commissioned promise possessions. Now, bearing in mind that we are not a name it and claim it theology church. Amen? Well, you didn't sound real enthusiastic about that. We are not one of those name it and claim it churches. Amen? But we do believe that the Lord has given us things that He has predestined. He has foresaw what we are to have. Amen? And so God has a plan for your life. God has things that He wants you to take possession of that He has already given you. And we discussed that last week. And so this week as we come and we look at the new day that the Israelites are about to experience. I am sure as they crossed in, prepared to cross into this new area, that there were people that were worried. I'm sure that as Moses came, as Joshua came on as the new leader, having replaced Moses, that there were people that were nervous about that. Amen? And so as they prepare to cross into the promised land, what I want you to know is that the battle is the Lord's. Fear not. Be of good courage. And I want you to know that on your best day, or in your worst day, it is still the blood of Jesus Christ that saves us. Amen. When we do the things that we do well, it is the blood of Christ that saves us. When we are having less than our best day, it is the blood of Jesus Christ that saves us. It is not only the blood of Christ that saves us, it is the mercy of God not giving us what we deserve. Amen? Amen. And it is the grace of God giving us what we do not deserve. The mercy of Him not giving us what we deserve, and the grace of Him giving us what we do not deserve. And in all things, as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, For it is by grace through faith that you have been saved. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. So even the faith that we have to follow the Lord Jesus Christ comes from God. It's an amazing thing. People have all of these ideas of how to get to heaven. We've heard many times, everybody wants to go to heaven. No one wants to go today. But we know that to get to heaven, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So now as we prepare to write, and remember what I told you last week about putting away your Bibles too early. I'm going to be getting in the habit of finishing my points well before the end, but we have more coming. So don't be putting your Bibles away and then you got to dig them back out. That's just one of those awkward moments before the Lord. Amen? All right, so looking at point number two, you'll see that the first point is already filled in. But point number two today, we are going to look at God's commissioned promises. God's commissioned promises. Now, God told them about their possessions. Look in verse 5. That's where we pick it up today in today's message. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. You know, we have an amazing country. Amen?
Amen.
You know, our country, in our very Constitution, in our very Declaration of Independence, in our Pledge of Allegiance, we acknowledge our Creator. It's on our currency. What does it say? In God, we trust. What do we say in the Pledge of Allegiance? One nation, under God. And so listen, wherever we are in our travels as a country, God is in control. It is God's plan. It is God's leaders that put these people in there. I don't think anyone doubts the fact that we had divinely inspired men that founded this country. But they were also flawed men. Amen? They were men that were slaveholders. There are people throughout our history that have done terrible things, but the Republic will survive. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. And God told the people about their possessions. And God gave them a promise. And remember that all things happen to us, to the people in the Old Testament, as examples to us in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11 says, now all these things happen to them as examples. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, that's why we preach the whole truth of the Word of God. Amen? We preach from Genesis to Revelation. I believe my Bible from the table of contents to the book of maps. I believe it all. I believe that God has placed His Word in there for our edification. And so, let's unpack the promises of God for just a moment, if you don't mind. Look at the first part of verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you. No man shall be able to stand before you. See, Lord gives them the promise of conquering power. Did you know that you are more than conquerors through Christ who lives in you? The Lord gives them the promise of conquering power. And we find here that there's power in everything that God asks. There's power in everything that God asks you to do. Don't sit there and think sinful thoughts. Now, what sinful thoughts am I talking about? I am so glad you asked. Don't sit there and think, I don't have the power to drive out giants, as these people were whining about going into the promised land. But for us, it's giants of doubt, giants of lust, of hate, of envy, of jealousy and worry. Because, yes, you do. You have the power in the name of God through the blood of Jesus Christ to cast out the giants in your life. Amen? Because these giants cannot stand against you if you go in the power of Jesus' name. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I tried to say this last Sunday. I'm not sure I got my point across, but I want to say it to you again. Listen, this is so very, very important. Living the significant and victorious life is not your responsibility. The significant life, are you ready for this, is your response to God's ability. It's what you believe that God can do. It's how powerful you believe your Father is. If you have a small God, then you can only do small things or nothing. But if you have a big God, if you have a mighty God, if your God is El Shaddai, Almighty God, then you can do great things through Him. God only demands you to do what He can do through you. You are called of God, Christians. You are called of God, Christians. You are called of God, Christians, to do great and mighty things. And not only that, God is saying that you're to be more than a conqueror. Now, this is a passage that you should have memorized. But you'll see on the screen, Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Who loved you? God the Father. Who loved you? God the Son. Who loved you? God the Holy Spirit. And you are more than conquerors. You are not some weak, namby-pamby Christians. Get that thought out of your mind. And not only do you have God's promise of conquering power, you have the promise of His continued presence. Look again at verse 5. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. How good is that? How good is that? You, not only do you have God's promise of conquering power, you have the promise of His continued presence. Is the Lord your shepherd? What does the Scripture say about the Lord being your shepherd? In Psalm 23 it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What does that mean? It means that the goodness of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord, shall follow you all the days of your life. So as you are walking away from the Lord and being disobedient at times, don't think that God's goodness and mercy are still back over there. It's right here. God's good. We have the promise of His Word. His goodness and His mercy will follow you all the days of your life. When you are being disobedient to the Lord, goodness and mercy are there. You know, there's times in my life when I did not live for the Lord. There's a long period of time when I walked far from God. And finally, the Lord shook me by the throat. And He grabbed me by the collar and shook me. And my wife prayed for me. And when I turned back to the Lord, I thought it would be a long journey back. But as soon as I turned around, goodness and mercy. Amen. God's goodness and mercy right there. Because God's goodness and God's mercy is what follow us all the days of our life. God will not leave you. God will not forsake you. As He was with Moses, He is with Joshua. As He was with Joshua, He is with you. Amen? Amen? I believe that's a point for a hallelujah there. Amen? God will not leave you or forsake you. The Lord is saying, my promises did not die with Moses. Friends, God made a promise to Moses and He reconfirmed it to Joshua. Christians, the Bible is not a book about what God has said. The Bible is God's sacred word about what the Jehovah God is saying to you right now. He is a good God. He is a mighty God. And here's a nugget for you. Here's a nugget for all Christians, whether you're watching, listening here in the sanctuary, whether you speak the language or not, whether you're watching on the internet. God was with Joshua. That's a good thing, amen? Amen. But if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God, in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, is in you. He's not just with you. He is in you. Christ says, I am in you. And therefore, God lives inside of us. And I still have the promise of Joshua in Joshua 1:5. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. You may say, well, Pastor, that's the Old Testament. Really? Well, I see that in the New Testament. Could you possibly find anything in the New Testament about that? Well, I'm so glad you asked once again. If you look on the screen, you'll see Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, are you ready for a little bit of Greek? Come on, church, say amen.
Amen.
Say, Pastor, I'm excited about some Greek this morning. Hallelujah. Nothing like some Greek in that message. I can't wait. You see this phrase, that phrase in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5? Okay? It says, will never. But Greek scholars tell us that this is an intensive form. It's an intensive form that should be repeated three times. Why is that meant to be important? Well, if we advance the screen, you'll see why. Here's how it should really be read. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never, I will never, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's God's promise to you. What does Scripture say? God is love. It's not something that He does. It's not something that He has. It's what He is. And the same God that loves you says, I will never, I will never, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Are you going through a difficult time right now? I will never, I will never, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Are you going through cancer or debilitating illness right now? I will never, I will never, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Surely, goodness and mercy, bam, shall follow me all the days of my life. And all God's people said,
amen.
That's good stuff, isn't it? Now you got some. You got a little outtake on some of the Greek words there. Notice I didn't give you the Greek word. Say, thank you, Pastor. I will never, I will never, I will never. You have God's commissioned promise. Third, you are God's commissioned people. Have you ever thought about that? You are God's commissioned people. Look at verses 6 and verse 7. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. How many times does God have to tell us to be bold and be strong and be courageous? Apparently many. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. Now that right hand or that left hand thing, I just want to throw this nugget out there. That means the human parts of it. You see, God says, this is it. John 14:6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Some people go to the left or they go to the right of that. Well, I think if you're good enough, you'll get to heaven. That's not what God said. I think if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, you'll get to heaven. That's not what God said. Jesus said, you must come through me. Friends, you must go to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, living the significant life is realizing that God has already commissioned you to victory. I've had people say to me, now, Pastor, those are exactly the three things I am not. I am not strong, I am not courageous, and I certainly am not always obedient. Hallelujah, you're part of a big crowd. You're part of my country club. You see, people also say, I don't always obey God's word. I turn from the right and from the left. Guys, don't overthink this. Joshua was flesh and blood, just like you and I. Moses was flesh and blood, just like you and I. King David was flesh and blood, just like you and I. But here's another secret. Everything that God demands of you, God supplies for you. If He demands something of you, then He's going to supply the means whereby you can accomplish that. Behind every commandment of God is the omnipotent power of God to carry out the divine command of God. I'm going to say that one more time. I thought I'd get a testimony. I'm glad I brought my own. Behind every command of God is the omnipotent power of God to carry out the divine power of God. Amen. He gives you the power. Are you really getting the point here? God doesn't want you to be strong in your own limited strength. God doesn't want you to be bold in your own limited strength. God doesn't want you to be obedient in your own limited strength. God doesn't want any of those things. But look at those in light of verse 5. God says, I'm not going to leave you. Verse 5 says, I'm not going to leave you. Verse 6 and 7, therefore, be strong. I don't travel in my power. I don't travel in my might, not by my power, not by my might, but by your mighty outstretched right arm, Lord. That's how we are to go through life. Friends, it's such a simple concept because it's not my strength, it's God's strength in me. Weak people can choose to be strong by being strong in the Lord. Disobedient people can choose to be obedient in the Lord. Fearful people can choose to be bold by being bold in the strength of the Lord. It is all about God doing what He wills, and because it is in His will that He prepares us. He gives you the things that you need, and He will prepare His people with His strength. You simply need to call on it. You have everything that you need to live the victorious, significant life. You just simply need to call upon it. So not only do we see God's commissioned possessions, not only do we see the possessions, not only do we see His promises, not only do we realize that we are His people, now we come to God's commissioned plan. Verses 8 and 9. I'm not going to read that part right now, but we're going to get to it in just a second. We see God's plan here in verses 8 and 9 in three parts. Keep your eyes on verses 8 and 9. Let's look at 8a, the first part of the book of 8. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Guys, we are to proclaim the Word of God. We're not called to be silent about the Word of God. It said this Word, this book of the law shall not depart. Listen, guys, read your Bibles. You'd be amazed how much it will help you in your life. You know, years ago, as a young associate pastor, well, for me to be a young associate pastor, it had to be many years ago. But when I was a new associate pastor, there were so many times I tried to be the good guy when there was some kind of dispute to settle in the church among God's people. And that's right, believe it or not, there are disputes in some churches. And I would try to be the good guy, and I would try to reason with them. And I would get myself in so much trouble. What do I do now? I said, let's look at what God's Word says. That way they're not looking at Brister. They are looking at Bible. Amen? Amen. That's what we are called to do. Guys, we are to proclaim the Word of God. And not only that, we are to speak the words of God. Why? Because His Word is a two-edged sword that cuts to the bone and the marrow. Doesn't it feel that way some days? Don't act all spiritual on me. Aren't there some days where you've done a certain day during, you know, something during the day that you weren't exactly proud of? You know, we were on the way home. We went to visit my daughter on Thursday evening. We went out to a Broadway play, and We enjoyed it. I enjoyed it because I was there with my wife, my daughter, and my wife, and her family. But we were there, and on the way back, we drove back on Friday, and somebody cut me off. And I like to be spiritual. I like to be Pastor Larry all the time. But apparently what's down in the well will come up in the bucket. And so I had to repent of that. And I said, I'm sorry in the name of the Lord as you're driving away from me. But when I went and looked at how I should have acted and I did my Bible reading that night, man, it just cut me up. Amen? So let's keep the muddy parts back down in the well. Amen? Let's speak the words that he said. Listen, you might say, Satan comes at me every day, Pastor Larry. I'm under attack every single day. So what? Don't be surprised by that. Jesus defeated Satan in the wilderness with what? With the Word of God. He defeated him with the Word of God. The Word was in his mouth. The Word of the law was in Jesus' mouth. He certainly could have just dusted Satan off with a flick of his hand without even thinking about it. But what did he use? He used the Word. There is tremendous power just in speaking the very words of Scripture. When you do battle with the enemy, do you use Scripture as your battle axe? When you do battle with the enemy, do you use a Word of God to cut Satan to the bone and marrow and to pieces? To send him on his way? Let's get legal for a moment. When you are under attack by Satan, do you use God's Word as your power of attorney? Because Christ is in me. And do you use it as your power of attorney to battle with Satan? Do you use the Word of God as your power of attorney to go in and take possession of what God Almighty has already given you? Got quiet in here. Use the Word of God. Read your Bibles. We are to proclaim the Word. Not only we are to proclaim it, look back at verse 8. If you're there, please say amen. But you shall meditate on it day and night. So not only are we to proclaim it, we are to ponder. You know, I've been waiting for weeks to use the word ponder. You are to ponder the Word of God. It's not enough to quote it. We are to take God's Word and think on it. Ponder it. Meditate on it. Think deeply in our minds on the Word of God. What is God saying to me with this passage right now? Turn it over and over and over in our mind. You know, there are some times when I lay in bed at night, and in the quietness of the night, I'll wake up and the Word of the Lord will come to me. And then I'll fall back asleep preaching, thinking about what I'm going to preach the coming Sunday or the coming Wednesday. And when I wake up, that Word is still in my mind. It's still fresh in my heart. Then I go and grab Miss Ruth Ann, who is minding her own business, and I declare the Word of the Lord to her. Honey, look at this. Listen to this. Sweetheart, isn't God's Word good? Isn't it good? Now listen, I know there are difficult parts in God's Word. I'm not saying that there aren't. But God has said, if you look on the screen at Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Why do we say so much, keep your Bibles in your laps, read your Word of God? Be ready to declare the Word of God. Ponder on it. Meditate on it. Why? So that when somebody says something, you know right away that's unbiblical. That's against the Word of God. And therefore you say it in love what the true Word of God is saying. Why? Because God will use His Word for His purposes. You ever think about how some of our politicians will use Scripture when they are the most unscriptural people you've ever seen in your life? You ever thought about that? Why? So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void. They don't realize that they may have been doing it for a political game or political gain. But you know what? The word of the Lord just went out. And God says, my word will not return void. And so some people will take the words that they use and say, you know what, I hear what you're saying, but that's not what you're doing. Got quiet again, amen? I'd like to apologize, I went right off my notes. So read your Bibles. And if you first don't get it, that's okay. It's not going to go to waste. We should proclaim and ponder God's Word. But we need to put it into practice as well. You know, it's easy to get all giddy about being significant. It's easy to get all excited about living the significant, victorious life. It's real easy and happy and smiley face and all spiritual to be excited about being more than a conqueror. But look at verse 8 again. What is the reason for meditating on the Word of God? Look at that. After you meditate on it day and night, if you're there, please say amen. Amen. That you may observe to do according to all that is written, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You will have good success. Meditate on it. So what? Because then we will be prosperous. Then we will have good success. You know, you can have success in some areas and it's not that good. I can succeed in working out. But sometimes it's not a good success when I try to get up from the couch later. You can have good success. Guys, it doesn't matter how much you sit in church. It doesn't matter how much you nod and say amen when I preach it. The proof that you actually believe it is when you live a life of biblical significance and obedience. Amen. That's the spot for an amen. Do you want to know how to make God real in your life? Do you want to know how to make God personal in your life? Meditation gives you knowledge about God, but obedience gives you knowledge of God. Amen. The very second you're praying about being obedient to what God has clearly called you to do, I want you to know that the very second you're praying about being obedient, you are being disobedient. I don't need to pray about what God has called me clearly to do. We are to proclaim the Word of God. Amen? If you are talking with somebody in a checkout line and you're having a casual conversation and the Holy Spirit says, share Jesus with them. And don't tell me He doesn't do that. You need to share Jesus with them. Amen? Try not to beat them up. You know, try not to be one of those people that where you say, you know, we were having a conversation and things turned ugly when I beat him over the head with my Bible. Try not to be one of those things. When you're obedient to His command, God will do amazing things in your life. And the reason that God seems distant to some people is because they don't keep His Word. The reason that people never enter their promised land. The reason that some people never have victory. The reason that some people are never significant is very simple. Is that they do not obey the Word of the Lord. You need to obey the Word of the Lord. It's that simple. Now listen, guys, you know, it's not like I'm pointing here. Because when I point, there's three other fingers pointing right back here. That stands for all of God's people. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I love God's Word. Even when it's tough. Amen? Amen? Even those days. Now, what happens once we've done those things? Look at verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Guys, you have been commissioned by God to live a significant, victorious life. Don't you think that it's about time? Time to step out in the faith that God can be trusted to always be there. Time to step out in faith because His Word is faithful. Isn't it time to step out and say, this promise is mine. My Lord has given it to me. And I'm not going to let the giants of doubt keep me away from what my Lord has promised me. Christians, in Jesus' name, come out of the wilderness. Come out of the wilderness of doubt and discouragement and live a life of commissioned significance. You have been commissioned by God. Amen? Amen? Now there are some sitting here right here today. They may be watching on the internet. They may be watching a DVD or listening to an audio CD. And they've never received Jesus Christ as Lord. They've never been saved. They are not part of the family of God. Well, why don't we take care of that? We can take care of that today. You see, our whole purpose for being here is to praise the Lord. Yes, amen. But to declare, thus saith the Lord. to get as many people into heaven as possible, because that's what God's plan is. Amen? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as we prepare to close here. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if somebody with a paper Bible can please say amen when they get there. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Amen. Listen to this. What is the gospel? How are we to teach the gospel? It's very simple. You should underline this. You should memorize it. Verse 1, chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. What's he declaring? The gospel. What is the gospel? Well, let's read. Which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand. In other words, we preach the gospel. People hear the gospel. People make a decision to accept or reject the gospel. And once you make that decision, you stand in that decision. By which also you were saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Now, here we go. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And that He was seen by Cephas, that's the Apostle Peter, then by the 12. After that He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to be present. But some have fallen asleep. After that, He was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, He was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. Christ died on the cross. He is the Son of God. He was in the grave 3 days, but on the third day, He rose again. And based upon that, and based upon the truth of the Word of God. If you do not know Jesus Christ, all that you need to do, and we're going to be praying about that in just a moment, is to say, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe He is the Son of God. I believe He came from heaven to earth to die for my sins. I believe He died on the cross. He was placed in the grave. And He was in there 3 days. But on the third day, He rose again. And the reason that I know that He rose again is because He was seen by Mary. He was seen by the disciples. He was seen by all the apostles. He was seen by 500 others. And if you believe in nothing else, friends, believe this. Something changed those men. All of those apostles went to their death proclaiming the truth of what they had seen. Something changed those men. Don't you think that if they were preaching a lie, that as soon as they were stretched down on a cross, and somebody put the nail to their hand, they'd have gone, whoa, wait a minute. Preaching this is one thing, dying for it is another thing. But they all proclaim the truth of the resurrection of the Son of God. Guys, it's time that you claim what God has commissioned you to have. And God has commissioned you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, if that's what you want to do. It's time to say, my God has given it to me, Christians. I don't have to beg Him for it. I'm just going to thank God for what He has given me. I'm going to take up my sword. I'm going to take up my sword. His Word never returns void. And there's no power of hell that's going to stop me from grabbing God's plan for my life. I believe God has a plan for my life. I believe that it's to be a life of victory. I believe that it's to be a life of prosperity as God sees prosperity for my life. But whatever God does, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of the life. And by the grace of God, I'm going to be a significant Christian. And all God's people said,
amen.
I end as I begin every single week. Give God praise in His house. Amen.
Amen.
I end as I begin. Every week, grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Every head bowed and every eye closed. I thank You so much for Your patience this morning. As we've come here today and we've received the Word of God. And I hope that as I preached it, that you grab the hold of the truth of that Word. There are some parts that are difficult, but it's always with one goal in mind, that you receive Jesus Christ as Lord. And so today, if you receive Christ, whether you're sitting here in the sanctuary or you're watching on the internet or you're watching a DVD or listening to an audio CD going down the highway, If you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, I want you to pray these words. Let's formalize it a little bit. This prayer does not save you. You are already saved. You are already one of the redeemed of God. There's already been a great shout that has gone up in heaven for you over one sinner that's been changed. But let's formalize it and pray these words. Lord Jesus, this day I believe You are the Son of God. I believe You came from heaven to earth, that You lived a sinless life, that You died on the cross for me and for my sins. I believe that You were in the grave 3 days, and I believe that on the third day You rose again to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, I believe in my heart that You are Lord, and I confess with my mouth all my sins. Please save me, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, if you look up here at me, if you receive...
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.